Just like Barkyance said, if you like it, you ought to put a leash on it. We saw Love on a Leash, so you know what that means. Of Earth, and welcome to How Did This Get Made? I'm your host, Paul Scheer, aka Tall John, and today we are talking about Love on a Leash, a story about a cursed prince, or maybe just a human, who is a playboy who becomes a dog in another life, in another country, not quite sure, and has to fall in love with a woman so he becomes a man. But then when he becomes a man, he can only become a man for part of the day. And that really is just the tip of the iceberg on this little indie that you can find for free on YouTube. This movie has really no stats that we can find. I don't think it was ever released. And no sound either for the first 2 minutes, which was quite unnerving. Now, tonight, we are going to be breaking down this movie with my two co-hosts, but we also have a very special guest to join them. But first, let me introduce to you Mr. Jason Mantzoukas.
Boom!
Yes!
What's up, jerks?
You know what? And we're so excited to have you talking, because I know you love dogs.
Oh,
I
know this, yeah. Paul must love dogs. First of all, must love dogs. Second of all, this movie gave me a full nervous breakdown. This movie reduced me to insanity in a hotel room. Can't wait to talk about it.
Oh, I can't wait to talk to you about it. And we can't talk about this movie without another person who loves dogs just as much as Jason and I. Her name is June Diane Rayfield. June, welcome.
Hi. Hello, hello, hello. Jason, Paul, you know, I know we've been doing this podcast for some time, but today I feel brand new. I feel like we've never done the show before, because this movie, I truly believe, was the cultural reset that this podcast needed.
This is a new episode one. This is episode one.
It starts again. We're back to the beginning.
There are moments in this podcast, and I've said it before, but it keeps on happening, where I go, I didn't think we could top
and
where we've been.
I had the same thought. I didn't think it. I didn't think it.
11 years in. 11 years
11
in.
11 years
and
in
we can
to
still,
find a... We
come
can
on.
Still surprise ourselves.
I mean, not just surprise, but have my mind scrambled like an egg that I'm allergic to.
Like the Lewis and Clark of bad movies.
It's a new frontier.
When we see it, we're like, oh my gosh, there's more here? Wow.
Yeah.
June, I want to say, not only is this a great movie about dogs, which I know you love, but it's a great movie about wigs.
I want to save this discussion.
Of course.
And I want to earmark about 45 minutes to 1 hour to talk about our lead's hair. But I don't even want to touch this with a 10-foot pole until our guest comes out.
I am so excited because
she's broadcasting from a Commodore 64 that is not working.
She has complained in the past, I hate when I come on this show and you give me these movies with trash can fires. So we tried our best to find a movie with no trash can fires, but I would say the movie is an equivalent of that. Please welcome the amazing, the talented, the host of Deep Dive with June Diane Rayfield, one of the stars of Station 5 on HBO, Jessica St. Clair.
Hello, friends.
There she is.
Hello.
Yes.
Hello.
You see my unmade bed? Let's just move over this
No,
way.
We can't.
We didn't even see it.
Frame it out, please.
And you're welcome. No trash can fires in this movie.
I would gladly take 1 billion trash can fires over watching this terrifying movie. And you know, Paul, because the last time you had me on your dumbass show with Yubel,
yes,
you showed me all the villains, all the scariest pinwheels yes. and Pennywise and Pinhead.
Yeah.
This movie scared me more, and I mean that, than all of those movies.
Wow. All right,
Jess,
so
I understand that.
Because these were adult, real adult people. Filming.
Let's say
this
that again.
Movie.
There's this movie is comprised of real adult people.
This was no CGI, okay?
No CGI. It was
not animated.
It was a octogenarian first time director of this
film.
Oh, wow. Yeah. Yes. So this
Wait,
is
what?
I was under the impression the dog had done the film.
No, Fen Ten did the film. She is an octogenarian. But I will say this, and this is the thing that I felt I was not prepared for, and Molly prepared me for it, which is the first 2 minutes of the film have no sound. No sound. No music, no sound. That is truly one of the most horrifying experiences I have ever had, because it puts you in a panic mode. It's like, okay, is
What's
something wrong with my TV?
What's wrong?
Did they not know this?
And
did someone
that,
not
is
tell
a,
them
is
this?
Is that a move?
But,
is it a move
Paul,
to put you off your...
But Paul, when you texted me, I said, where do I find this piece of shit? Because you can't eat... I was like, it's not on any streaming platforms. And you wrote, you know, here's the YouTube link, and don't be afraid that the first 2 minutes don't have sound, quote, that's a choice. And that scared me more than anything.
I
said it's a choice because, look, they had ample. It wasn't like we were watching a rough cut. It wasn't like it was, you know, premiering at Sundance and there was some sort of issue in the projection booth. This was somebody put a stamp that this is ready to be released to the public. That made me uncomfortable on so many levels.
It felt to me like in all the moments of silence, because the movie is not, and I want to be clear, not just the first 2 minutes, but throughout the movie, all establishing shots, there are shots where you can see actors' mouths moving, but there is no sound. My mind was trying to rationalize it and say, here's where score was supposed to be and is missing.
I thought this was the dog's mind. We were inside.
The whole movie? Now, this is interesting.
No, I thought just sometimes when you would cut out, I thought maybe this is the dog's perspective. But the dog has ears. That doesn't make any sense.
And, you know, I have to say, I think, you know, Paul is running the tech on this live stream. Like, I do feel like Paul's tech work is going to be far more advanced on this live stream than the mixing and the... You know, color correcting. I mean, well, I guess we'll talk about the
color
green at one point.
It's the first time that I've ever seen.
June, do you think we'll talk about the color green? June?
What the fuck was that about?
Every character was monochromatic. Every single character was defined. There's a moment in the movie where the movie jumps 30 years into the future. Everyone is still wearing monochromatic outfits.
And let me just tell you, so I have a lime green dress, and I almost wore it tonight.
Oh, that would have been great.
That would have been great.
I almost wore it tonight, but I was actually, like, so sickened by the color. Sickened by the color from last night. And I want to really talk about that mesh hanging thing.
That's very upsetting.
Okay, there's two.
Also,
what is that?
I thought that was like a cat carrier,
thing that cats storage. I think it's storage of some sort.
Jason.
What?
No. So you're saying you just put your hand in and grab.
You're like
a hanging...
It's right near the door. So you walk in, you put your wallet and your keys in one hole, your phone in another hole. I don't know, guys.
Yeah, but one is so like high up that you couldn't even get to.
Guys, was this apartment one of the actors' apartment and that's what they're living in? Because I don't think they would have had the budget to paint that. I feel like somebody, and this is what I mean about real adult people. Somebody
I think they had
people,
to have painted it just because the green is so tethered to who she is.
I think they worked backwards. I think they worked backwards from the apartment. I really do. This is
a
location-specific movie.
Do you think, though, the green was about the jade? Because jade comes into play at one point. They go on an excursion to the Jade Museum, where we just go to a jade museum for a second and then never refer to it again. But I think there's something about the luck of jade. Like jade is a lucky color.
I felt like now, forgive me if you guys didn't agree, but Paul, and I don't know what pictures or stills you have.
Yeah.
Can anybody tell me what was the shape of her bed?
A heart shape.
It's a hair.
I thought it was a leaf. And I thought it was green, like green was meant to be life and like a tree. Like it seemed to me like this was like a leaf of some sort. But maybe you're right and it's a heart and I'm just wrong.
I hear what you're saying. Like it almost looked like a chestnut. Like a heart. And what was so fascinating to me about this bed choice is she's set up as like a super kind of frigid, doesn't, you know, when she has her first sex scene with the dog,
a line that has never been uttered in this podcast 11 years, probably never will again.
Listen, it got me thinking, and I do want to open this up for discussion to my dear friends who are on the show with us, but it did get me thinking, like, if my dog was a man, would I have sex with him?
No.
And I do think with Meatball, the answer is no.
Yeah, but I do think there are certain dogs.
Now, let me ask you.
Meatball
is your uncle. He's
your dad.
He's your coach.
But I do think there are dogs that are
handsome.
Now, let me ask you this. Because
wait a second.
I've got a real question.
Yes.
Because my real question is, if Meatball turned into a man forever, could you love that man? But if he turned back and forth every night, so part of the time you were spending with him, he was still a dog. I get it. This is the frog prince.
You were still picking up his shit.
But you kiss a frog, you turn,
he
turns into a
prince. Put it into a bag.
Yes.
She's not
all day long, you're picking up his shit. And then he turns into a guy, but only at night? That would really mess with my mind.
Well, in some ways, I feel like this woman has so many good choices presented to her. Like, I'm sorry, but even like the option that Kyle gives her, knowing what we do about how her life ends up, which is that she spends, honestly, the bulk of her childbearing years, the bulk of her life waiting for this man to come back as a man and not be a dog anymore. Like, she should have taken the Kyle deal. And I guess we'll get into Kyle now, but when he offers her a lifetime of basically just being a beard, like she should have taken that and then waited, you know, and even having Prince as a dog during the day and a man at night, given the personality of who Prince is as a man, I don't think it's a terrible situation for her.
I could make that work.
I could make it work.
If the sex was good enough, I could make it work.
Well,
of course. I mean, you could make it work. You could make it work. And why not? This is we've got ourselves a half of a Lady Hawk here, you know, which is one of my favorite of all time movies that we've never done, which is Rutger Hauer is a wolf at night, while Michelle Pfeiffer is Michelle Pfeiffer, and Michelle Pfeiffer is a hawk during the day, while Rutger Hauer is Rutger Hauer.
The difference, Jason, is like everybody needs and should have a dog, as far as I'm concerned.
Got it. Sure. Yes, of course.
Okay, so like there are needs being met by both the dog version of Prince and the man version of Prince.
Also, just remember, Ina Garten, Jeffrey, he's away from Monday to Thursday.
And that works out great.
And she's got a roast chicken for him on Friday.
The Barefoot Contessa? Is
That's right.
Her husband?
They're everybody's relationship goals, and he's not there ever during the week because he's a professor at Yale.
I want to walk it back a couple steps because for those of you who have not seen the movie, first of all, do yourselves a favor and watch it because we all need to know where the brink of sanity is. But I will say this. First of all, jade is an important color for the director's culture. It is promoting, it wards off bad luck and it promotes good fortune. So that was the idea. So all those choices, the apartment, the outfits, all intentional. Now, this movie does start off, like we said, with no music and never finds music, ever. Which is also like underscoring, instrumental, nothing.
Except for the songs that the dog makes up. I'm a dog driving in a car.
Okay.
I'm a
yes. dog. This is the kind of movies.
That kind sound, honestly, Jason, those are the kind of songs you come up with.
When you drive with Jason,
those are the kind of songs he sings.
It's exactly like improv songs.
Yes.
When you make up songs that are just, it felt to me like whoever's doing that bit is watching the movie and just singing what they're seeing.
Oh, by the way, the person who played the dog is Stephen Kramer Glickman, and he is a improviser and a comedian. And we'll get into how he got involved with this, but I believe very much they just turned a mic on and let him go.
Caught that magic.
But it's the same actor as the actor?
You didn't know that, Jason? They have completely different voices and personalities.
I'm going to be honest, guys. Jason. I didn't pay enough attention.
Jason is aggressive, but... The man who voiced the dog was like a completely different voice. And not only that, but personality.
But that's what I don't understand. Well, that's what
Isn't it the same person?
Yes. Isn't it the same person?
But the personality of the dog was completely different than the personality of the man. The dog hated this woman and was using her.
A pizza face cement block.
A cinder block. Yeah.
A cinder block.
And the prince was a sweet, gentle man who I wanted to have a foreign accent, but he didn't. Or maybe he hid it well. But I feel like he looked... Not as even, I just feel like he was a little more dull than the dog. The dog was real cutting, like very Rodney Dangerfield kind of material.
He was a misogynist. The dog hated women.
The dog is a douche, right? The dog's personality is like a but I think they were trying to go off of he had been a playboy or whatever the guy says. He had been a playboy and he had been punished so that the dog was trying to embody that kind of like what he's just like crass and crude and he's like girls, where are all the girls? Here's a girl, there's a girl, doodly doo, you know, and like that's the kind of stuff that happens in the movie.
But here's my problem. Yeah. First of all, like Lisa. Is no prize.
Okay.
Now, they did her dirty though, because Lisa was wearing a haircut. Now, I think we realized later on that they put extensions in. They made her cut a bob and then they put extensions in.
Those were not extensions, June. That was like a clip-in piece.
Okay. It was a clip-in. Yes, but it was more hair that they put in to make her hair look longer so they could do that time jump, I guess. But I'm like, if someone walked down the street with that haircut, I would...
They were mentally unwell.
Wow.
I would ask them what they needed
and
if I could help.
Because
she looked so deranged. And that what was really upsetting is when she cut it off and got the bob, and we've cut time now, and now they're in a relationship... Even her bob had crazy layers. Like, we couldn't get away from the craziest layers I ever see.
Now, I thought her hair did a giant upgrade in the time lapse. And I feel like the dog kind of made her a little bit more, like, she was a little more dowdy. Like, we meet her, and she's a virgin who wants to find true love and is immediately pulled into these very bizarre relationships. I mean... She's pulled into two relationships that are...
Three, because of the creepy boss.
My question is, what did these people or dogs and or dogs see in Lisa?
Well, they're not... They're no prize.
What am I missing?
Well, I mean, come on. None of these guys... I mean, everybody in this movie... What about...
Kyle's Kyle Gay. You're so obsessed with Kyle.
Lisa is, like, her best friend's like... Go out with Kyle. He's rich. You'll go to Paris. And she's like, okay. And she didn't like Kyle for Kyle. She said, oh, he's like an uncle. Like, I didn't even feel like they got along. But then when Kyle does a scene, can I play the scene where Kyle confesses
please,
that he's...
Please, please.
Right, here we go. This is Kyle confessing to him that, you know, here we go.
Will you marry me? No, don't get me wrong. It would be a name only.
Name only?
After we're married, you'll still be free. You can date anyone you want. I mean, you can sleep with anyone you like. No. I don't mean to be rude, but...
hair.
Well, too late.
Layers, layers.
The hair is so bad.
No, God, I'm sorry.
That painting we need to discuss as well.
Oh, yes.
I'm not attracted to any woman. All my relationships are with men.
Kyle is the best actor in this movie.
Yes.
100%.
Oh, yeah. He's amazing.
Kyle's killing it.
To his acting teacher, and they worked it, and they worked it.
And he did a great fucking job.
And he did a great job. He's taking it moment to moment. He's right
Beautiful
there with
moment
her.
To moment
he's
work.
He's right there with
That's
her.
That's the best scene in the movie.
But
why is she so upset?
You could argue Kyle has the most interesting emotional arc.
I was so compelled.
Agreed. And by the way, you could also, just so the audience knows, Kyle leaves about at moment 12 and we never see him again.
None of the creeps. the whole first act is Kyle, Mark, and Frank, like the three creeps. Like it's like
creep parade.
Like creep parade. And then they all disappear because she falls in love with a dog.
Who is also a creep. Because, by the way, the dog,
the dog is a creep too.
Oh, the dog is a fucking creep from minute one.
From minute one,
the dog is like, girls, gotta find girls. And a guy comes up and starts pointing at him and goes, hey, I'm not gay. And it's like,
right
what's
out of the
happening
gate?
Right now? The dog is a homophobic dude. Douchebag.
He's a homophobic misogynist.
The dog is
sexual predator.
Is there such a thing as toxic? It's toxic canininity.
Yeah.
Toxic canininity.
Yes, and I do think our dog Meatball, I've said this to you, Jessica, is absolutely, you know, misogynist and very toxic in his
I
own
agree
right.
That Meatball
and
can be staunch, very,
Meatball yes. is.
A staunch defender
of the
patriarchy.
He's a conservative.
He is
for
as red
sure.
as they come.
Your dog, okay. No offense, but your dog texts me a lot of MAGA stuff.
Oh, he's full Q. Yeah.
By the way, where was he? Where was he on January 6th? We didn't
great
see him.
I am too scared to ask.
We thought he was with a walker, but he didn't come home for a couple days. It was weird.
It was very weird. So I do.
And
he
came home with a bunch of Nancy Pelosi's paperwork.
I don't know. I kept it just for, you know, because I just am a fan. But I kept. Yeah, it was odd.
Yeah. So I do understand, like, what I was upset about to see a golden retriever represented that way.
Me too.
Because to me, that's just that
they're childlike.
Sense.
That's joyful.
Yeah,
you know,
that
there's not a bad
sense.
Bone. You never meet a golden retriever or a lab that's a dick.
No,
you just don't.
Well, but they have I expect that behavior from him. You know,
Prince,
and that's his.
His name is Prince, right? I don't know if he was a prince who was a playboy or just. She named him Prince, whatever the case may be.
This is just because of the Princess and the Frog, right? That's what this is. Because,
and I thought we were talking Beauty and the Beast.
You're right, it is Beauty and the Beast, but without the, I mean, the dog frog is.
I got it. We don't get any tongue kissing of a dog and our lead actress.
We almost
even
do,
though you said
she
you
wakes
wanted
up.
It.
Remember when she wakes up with him with the dog in the bed? That's the most disturbing cut.
I found this movie to be, like, how do I say it? Incredibly sexual. Like, it felt very horny.
Yes.
Like, and the dog itself?
Yes.
The whole movie.
Oh,
like,
yeah.
In a terrible way. That
yeah,
almost
like you don't feel good about yourself.
No, mm-hmm. Like you were watching like a tape of a voyeur who was taping
well,
passionate
people. Well, a lot of the
people.
Shots are from above or from the ceiling. And well, I don't know why. Like it's surveillance footage.
Well, it's like all of the
it's
beats.
Like the whole movie is going, you want to fuck a dog?
Yes.
You want to fuck
no,
a dog?
No, I feel, see, I disagree with you,
what about
St. Clair,
now?
Because I think the movie is this
now
dog wants to
dog?
Fuck you? This dog wants to fuck you? Like, because we're often inside the dog's head. We never have interiority for Lisa. We have interiority for the dog. And the dog's like, oh, gimme. Oh.
What if the interior voice of Lisa was like Judy Tenuta? Like, men are pigs. Yeah, shit. Like, their inner cells are just like these really aggressive. Voices.
Okay, what I couldn't understand is there is another actress in this movie who is giving us everything and then some. And her character's
Rita?
Name is Paula.
Oh, Paula.
Oh,
best
Paula.
Friend Paula.
Rita as well is.
Rita's incredible. But I'm like, why isn't Paula the lead? Like, she's an arresting, charming, vivacious.
She looks great in
hot pink.
I
can't take my eyes off of her. And I'm forced to follow Lisa the whole movie.
Well, yeah, I mean, but it also seems like, again, like,
so upset.
I feel like the script did her dirty because they made her a character. They made her a character who not only has no agency, but everybody is telling her she's like not living life, and so she's not. You know,
but yet she is this sexual object that every man wants to touch,
desires,
even the manager. When the manager goes, ooh, you got a spider on your back, he wants to get in there.
Creepy
Mark. You spider on your back routine.
Have you girls ever had that happen to you? A guy come up to you and go, spider on your back?
On your back. I wish. No.
And he blew the whole wish. First, you got to throw a bunch of spiders on someone if you're going to do
it. It's true.
I have to say, I was very upset by Lisa's apartment and that mesh cat hanging thing. But I was even more distressed by that clothing department store that Lisa worked in.
Oh, my God.
And the highways and byways of that store, the aisles, the mannequins, the colors.
I have a question about that. So Kyle, who we all
love,
like.
Kyle. Owner of the department store.
He own it?
He owned a few.
Okay, that's what I was clarifying.
Do not sleep on Kyle and what Kyle has done in his life to get where he is.
I just was making sure. Okay, got it.
So, but here's what I didn't understand about Kyle, though, is that I did not understand. In the very beginning, we open up. There's a woman who I think comes back later on as an animal agent.
The dog.
Oh, no. She's a dog owner.
I'm so sorry. She's the owner. You're right. She's the dog food owner.
The dog
who
talent
needs to cast
agency.
Her commercial.
Well, no. I think that.
DTA. Sorry.
I think that DTA is one of the premier.
I know it was like Gersh or DTA, and you went with DTA. That was surprising.
DTA has got all the good leads. I will tell you this. I think that actress was playing a high-powered executive for dog food.
Right, who was which like, is like a very unfortunate name, dog food.
Yes.
I just want to say what was so interesting about Kyle and his and honestly his philosophy on department stores and retail. Yeah, we are back to Kyle, Jess. Is that in the opening scene when we first meet Lisa, that dog food owner is trying on a dress.
Same dress.
Now, same
dress.
Okay, same dress she ends up wearing.
Yes.
Lovely choice. Love to call it back. But what's so weird is that dress, from my eye, looks like it fits just fine. Now, there's a salesman. I think it's the other guy that ends
the
up...
The creepy guy, the spider
sexually,
guy, the manager.
Trying to assault her at one point.
May I just interrupt you for one brief moment? When she's trying the dress on in the store and says it's too big and they have to squeeze it over her, there are two wet fart sounds inserted into the movie. The most score this movie has is two like raspberry wet farts.
Like she fills her pants with liquid diarrhea.
She dumps out in this movie. June is frozen in the best possible pose for me, as is Paul. St. Clair, it's just you and me. Their Wi-Fi is down. We own this show. We got it. We did
baby.
It.
Woo!
June, back in action.
Wow. I back in action on a hotspot right now, on my phone's hotspot. Paul Scheer
the couple I thought would have the tech issues.
You know what? This is so surprising. I don't know what to say.
I deserve an apology.
Yeah, you do, Jess, but this is honestly, this is like an act of God.
This is the show.
Just to go back, because the last thing I remember is discussing the fart noises that were laid in. And it's like, I want to say, it just reminded me, like, you're so vulnerable as an actor. Like, we do the work, because that woman is fucking amazing. She did a scene. Yes, she did a scene later on with the dog agent. Paul, do you want to jump in my frame?
Wait, you're on?
Yeah, I'm on.
Are you on?
I've been on, babe.
Oh, wait, hold on.
I'm on hotspot. I'm on hotspot. He's very upset.
I'm so upset. I'm so upset for Paul.
I'm on hotspot.
We're doing it.
Well, what I was going to say, though, is when I heard those fart noises, you know, it was such a reminder. Like, as an actor, you show up, you're trying to do the best you can do. You know, that woman was making choices later on in that talent scene. She had a beautiful scene with that talent agent where she was hilarious on the steps. And I thought,
and then inside with the dog picking up the phones. You know, a lavender phone. Everybody's got a lavender phone.
Indigo, babe. Indigo.
Oh, indigo. Sorry.
Strange. But I was like, shit, this woman is great.
Yeah.
And that, to
by the way, that phone was
actor,
not indigo.
I actually agree with you.
That phone was not indigo. It was
indigo.
Lavender.
Indigo is more blue.
It was lavender.
Yes. Strange. It was way too purple to be called indigo. But I'm like, my God, as an actor, you know, you never know what they're going to do in post to you and your performance.
It's humiliating.
This poor woman was fucking humiliated. And for Love on a Leash?
Yeah.
It's like, this isn't the you know, Farrelly Brothers. This is Love on a Leash. Like,
here's my question. Do you think the movie was trying to insinuate that the dress was too tight but for those two toots? And once she got rid of those two farts, the dress fit perfect.
Oh my God.
The dress fit like a dream. So yeah. She's like, oh, it's too tight. She's like, oh, it fits good. I'm going to go meet my husband.
I read it kind of a different way, or maybe we're saying the same thing, but just slightly different, which was that the tightness of the dress let out those two toots.
Squeezed them out.
Yeah.
As she was getting it over her butt, it's
kind of the same.
Six
of one, half dozen of another.
It's like with Spanx, like the fat has to go somewhere at a certain
point. And that's always been my, you know, critique of Spanx. But here's what I don't understand. Okay, going back to Kyle, like spend a little more time on Kyle.
June, I have a real question for you, June.
Him.
Have you been in touch with Kyle?
No.
Have you at all?
No, but okay. At one point I thought, did Kyle direct this movie? Because his style of acting and his sort of, you know, vibe, I was like, once I found out he was gay, and his character was gay, and I was like, oh, that's what sort of he was bringing. He was bringing a different texture to the movie, performance-wise.
Oh, yeah.
Absolutely.
And I didn't know what it was. But so at one point I thought he was the director. But Kyle's response. So what happens with that tight dress and those toots is that Lisa comes over because this woman is being sold that dress. And Lisa comes over and says, no, don't get this one. Get it too
sell this to you. I can't sell this to you.
It's too tight.
Yes.
Right.
And I'm a little bit like, as a customer, don't fucking tell me it's too tight.
No, don't.
I'll wear my clothes as tight as I want. Who the fuck are you?
Oh, God, where is
Paul? Look at this.
Paul?
I am on my phone right now because I've been trying to reset the internet. So that's where I'm at.
I don't know. Do we refund tickets? I mean, what do we do?
We're doing the show. We're here. But we're going to get it going.
Words, refund the
Sorry,
tickets.
Sorry, take it back.
What are you doing? We should double price.
Honestly, you're right. People should pay more.
What about when the mom calls and she's in
darkness.
Silhouette.
Like,
in darkness.
Like Norman Bates movie, whatever
Molly,
that movie
can you
movie
play
is.
That? Like, play this moment because this is actually a great
we're
little
We're
going
to try
moment.
To play clips now?
What is going to do? Get ready.
There's no clips. There's no more clips, babe.
Oh, God.
I got it.
Oh,
I got the whole thing.
Incredible.
Don't worry about
so
it.
Scary.
So dark.
That you're dating two guys.
Terrifying. She's in a rocket.
What a creep.
So what? What I mean is.
Weird angle.
You should date four or five guys at the same time.
So scary.
Not just two.
Why? What?
How old is Lisa / Paula? Because they seem to be peers. How old are they meant to be? Do you think?
Yeah,
because they talk about their virginity, or at least Lisa's virginity. You know, they seem to be horny like teenagers in a way. I mean, at least Paula
is. You don't have a heart shaped bed if you're a virgin,
unless it's a leaf shaped bed.
Well, it's a leaf shaped bed
or a chestnut bed
or a chestnut bed, then you're absolutely a virgin. But if that's a heart-shaped bed,
it's telling us the only man that she has had sex with is the dog. And that's a sentence that I would like to never say again.
That's what's dangerous about this movie.
The movie really is. It's very horny, even though Lisa herself isn't that horny. But then Lisa, once her sexuality is unlocked by the dog, then she gets into it, and she gets into it like she buys the dog a leash, and it gets kind of kinky in a way because you're like, oh, is this going to be their kink, or is this just a leash for the dog that he is sometimes?
This is some nuts level stuff.
Thank you, Molly.
Okay, what's so amazing about this? Go back to that other picture, that first one.
I had a question. Go ahead.
Are you going to ask who took these photos?
Thank you. Thank you.
In the world of the movie.
Because it's a photo. It's a photo. These are photos.
We know that because later on, old Lisa is showing old Paula her scrapbook.
That includes these pictures. It includes these pictures and then pages and pages of just pictures of the dog. What? What's happening? What is happening?
Why is she in a veil? Why was she in a creepy wedding veil?
Okay, so they
I think this was their wedding night.
That's what I want to know. They clearly get married. They get married.
They get married in their own way in an interspecies kind of ceremony, which I think this is. You know,
she's always in a kitten heel. Look at that. Every single character in a kitten heel.
Oh man. So I can only imagine they set up that shoe really upset me, actually. If we could just go back to that shoe, because that's not even a kitten heel. It's like a flip-flop with a heel. It's very upsetting.
Are we meant to believe, and this is not ageism, but that this is the sexual fantasy of an 80-year-old woman brought to screen?
Wow,
like,
Jess.
Because especially in that photo shoot.
I think it is the fantasy of like a riff on a fairy tale kind of, you know, the woebegone princess whose prince is missing and he's been cursed by a this and a that. And the only true love's kiss, blah, blah, blah. Yeah, I think it is. It's very, but it is. It's also super horny.
Putting a leash on a man and making him eat from a dog bowl and stuff. I do think that we're seeing like a granny's, like what's making a granny hot. And that question is that maybe you want to fuck a dog.
You think it's like you want to fuck a dog or is it that you want to treat a man like he's a dog? In this instance, it is just actually actualized as the dog.
Yeah.
Well, yes, I do think what we're toying with and what we're playing with, I actually think, I have to say quite honestly, I think there's a good movie in here. I think that there's like a romantic comedy in
fully
here
back.
That works quite well. Paul's back.
I'm fully back. Now, let me just tell you one thing. You missed the thing. They set up a camera on a timer to take those pictures of them.
We all
missed
that.
So that's the first shot in the montage, which I have right here.
They can explain it.
Yeah, that's one thing that they really do explain, but it's
that's
in this one moment.
That they would go out of their way to explain that, but not all the other magic.
I'm only angry, Paul, that you didn't rejoin the show from the sauna bed.
I thought I could pull it out in that moment. I thought it could be. Now, I do have a question about this, though, this photo thing. Did they get married in that moment?
We did discuss that. They seem to have, because from then on, they refer to each other as husband and wife repeatedly.
Again,
they did their own private ceremony. And, you know, in a way, I appreciate that about them, that they're like, we don't need the state involved. You know, we don't need.
Is she marrying a dog or is she marrying a man?
Well, that's the thing, is they had to get married at night in those photos. So he's a man. But during the day, is she at the park with the dog saying, this is my husband, Prince?
But yet he tells us early in the film.
Sometimes they do refer to Meatball as my husband.
Interesting.
What?
Interesting. You're halfway to Lisa, June. You're halfway to Lisa.
But I will say that why.
Maybe that's why I had such a bad reaction to her. I saw myself.
Yeah.
Too close.
When they did say, like, I'm going to name you Prince, at no point did he go, no, actually, my name is Alvin Fang, because that's what he did tell. Like, we hear the dog say, my name is Alvin Fang.
Wait, what?
The dog says his name is Alvin Fang?
I'm so sorry. Yes. What?
What okay. are you talking
I'm
about,
I'm so
Paul?
Happy that I got back in on this because I know a
oh,
lot
the
more
show?
About...
You mean the
I
show?
I don't know where
you're
show.
So happy you were able to rejoin the show.
I
and,
literally
and just
was
tell
down
me, should I switch
in
to
wires.
Wi-Fi because I'm paying for this hotspot, baby.
Hotspot? You don't even understand. You're not paying
you
for
pay
it.
You got your hotspot.
I do pay. I think you do pay for hotspot.
But I want to tell you this. So when she's naming him, he goes, "My name's not Prince. It's Alvin. Alvin Fang."
Huh? Then why doesn't he correct her when he becomes
what?
A man?
I don't know.
Well, the whole time I was like, is when he's a human, a man, is he trying to fake it? Like, fake being a nice person? Because the moment he goes back to being a dog, he's like,
you know
well,
what,
no, he's
Jess,
learning.
I have the same question. Jason, that's a tricky thing,
though. But that's what the movie wants you to think, is that he's learning
yes.
to become a better man. That's all.
But yes. it's complicated,
no.
right? Because, well, because I really did want to know. I felt that he was falling for her. I felt that their love was real. And then every time he became a dog, I was like, oh.
Well, I have just found
out. I don't know what to believe.
I've just found out that it's two different actors, right?
So, well, yeah, that was news to you.
You didn't know that.
So now that makes more sense because clearly the man acting, the actor in the movie, was performing the arc of you are a playboy who really falls in love and has a transformative experience through your relationship with Lisa. And the man voicing the dog was just riffing on dog
the
misogynist.
Movie. It was almost like he was Mystery Science Theater 3000-ing the movie.
What did I say? Toxic canine-inity? Canine-caninity?
But by the way, maybe this is a good chance for me to just tease that we do have a video from Stephen Kramer Glickman, who played Alvin Fang, a.k.a. the dog in voiceover. And he will tell us how he got into this role and all the ins and outs and how he was paid and all of that. But I will say this. That dog seemingly was truly earnest and loved her and wanted to provide for her and made that dog food come. He jumped through hoops. Not literally.
He also calls her Pizza Face Cinder Block.
Well, no. That's the dog.
Oh, I'm sorry. I thought that's what we were talking about.
The human man. Sorry. They're all the
I
dog.
Understand.
It's hard. The human.
Wait.
Hold on 1 second. The dog and the human are the same soul, though.
I don't think so.
If there was a soul, perhaps.
Okay, the dog and the human are the same entity.
They are. Yes,
yeah.
Yes.
So, Paul, you're describing them like, because I actually was like, I don't think this dog or human wants Prince or Alvin Fang. I don't think they actually want to pursue a career in entertainment to provide for Lisa. I think he wants to be a star.
Okay, well,
I don't think so.
Oh, wow.
I don't think so because doesn't the... Okay, hold on a second. Doesn't the magic water tell him that he's supposed to take care of her? Like demonstrate that you can take care of her and sacrifice.
But, before that, Jason, way before that.
Okay.
He saw that business card.
Oh, yes, for sure.
Oh, from picking out the outfits and the talent agent saw
it. There was a twinkle in his eye and he caught the bug.
The acting bug. He didn't seem to want to go back to acting, but I will say at the end of the movie.
He gives her the money.
Well, for him, it's not about the money. It's just the ego of being a dog
getting
star.
In front of the screen.
Yeah.
Should we see his work as a dog actor?
Love to see it.
Sure.
All right. So as Jessica
By the way,
said,
this dog actor is wonderful.
You have to ask yourself, I agree. You have to ask yourself, the dog didn't pursue this job. The dog doesn't know what it's doing. This poor dog is like,
listen, Jason, I have lots of feelings on that.
The dog didn't consent to be in this movie, you know?
You're talking about dog rights?
When he got hit by a car. That was upsetting.
The only blooper that they show, they show bloopers at the end of this movie.
Holy shit.
They show a blooper of the moment when the dog was hit by the car, which he wasn't really hit by the car, but the blooper is a bloody dog post car hit.
I could not believe, but I couldn't even believe before the bloopers that they had a shot of that dog on the side of the road with a bloody head.
Yeah.
I couldn't, I thought this is...
And then them trying to make the dog get in the pool. The dog doesn't want to get in the pool.
Those are not bloopers. That is an outtake of bad training, right?
Like that is... That is evidence in a court case.
Back to how to attract the opposite sex. Because did you think that Frank did a good job flirting by pretending he was married? Is that a good move?
What?
Wait, Frank pretended he was married?
Oh, was that
yes.
Frank?
Yes. Frank yeah. comes in and says he's looking for something for his wife.
Oh,
and he describes, he says, he also, if I'm working in a retail establishment and someone comes up and says, is your name Jason? I'm like, no.
I'm out.
The answer is no. You should not know. Customer, you should not know my name. When I worked at the Gap after high school, if somebody came in and said, hey, are you Jason? I would have been like, no. Nope. My name's Gary. See you later, weirdo.
Yeah.
You should not know that.
Totally.
That's a good tip.
I had
That's
no idea you worked at the Gap, by the way. You worked at the Gap during like...
Oh, prime Gap time.
The Reality Bites time. That's what Janine Garofalo does in Reality
prime
Bites.
Gap.
Very similar time.
Yep, at the Liberty Tree Mall.
Have you taken those folding skills and do you use them in your own life?
Oh, June, I did and I do.
He does. Yeah.
My packing cubes. Yes, I use packing cubes. Flawless.
See, I knew you were going to bring that.
Up. You did the... Jason used packing cubes before anybody knew about them. The Eagle Creek.
I thought they just started making them. I thought they were doing
I don't
a new
get
thing.
Them. I want to like them, but I don't get them.
I will give you a full blown walkthrough if you want.
I would love it. Ago,
Listen,
the
here's
cubes.
Where they come in handy. They come in handy when you're putting together a packing cube of socks and like underwear.
Chargers.
Because then what you do is you just take the cube. Well, let me just riddle me this. You just take the cube and you put it right in the drawer. You don't need to unpack anything. It's already in.
How about this? You don't even have to take them out of the suitcase because they're puzzle pieced in perfectly. You just unzip them and you have access to everything that's right there in your suitcase.
Oh, I don't
and the
live
drawers
out of a suitcase.
Don't give you bed bugs. I'm a big packing cube guy. Peak Designs packing cubes. You're crushing it out there.
By the way, I also have bought them. I just haven't figured out how to use them. I watched the way that June uses them and I don't like it.
No. You have to pack. You have to fold your clothes to the shape of the cube. That's the deal.
Okay.
That's the deal.
Okay. Well, now look.
I will do 20 minutes just about packing cubes.
I would take it all.
On Patreon. Honestly, that's my Patreon show.
Honestly, I would pay to watch it.
Honestly?
It's called Zook's Cubes, and here we go.
We are talking about ads right now, so I think it's a good chance for us to watch the dog, Prince's acting debut, in a dog food commercial that he does behind the back of Lisa, and he's trying to hide it from Lisa, but it's a national commercial. You can't hide it from Lisa because she's always watching TV. So here we go.
Look at that lower layer.
It's so upsetting.
So upsetting.
China girl dog
Prince,
food.
Is that you?
It's time for you to know.
Where are you going?
I fight crime with ninjas.
Is that how you...
Ooh, I just noticed that lava lamp. A lime green lava lamp is in frame there.
Yeah, green everywhere.
Whoa.
But now, all right, so it is China Girl. I realize I said there's no music in the movie. That, I think, is the only time we hear music.
It's just from the commercial.
Yeah, which is, isn't it a David Bowie song?
Yeah.
Yeah. And that's
how did they get the rights to that?
They didn't.
They did.
I don't think this movie was released.
Did not. Yes.
Okay. All right, so they
and
have
honestly,
the China
that
Girl.
Might have been what shut down our internet.
Might have been.
I have to say, if my and Jessica, I'm curious how you feel about this, but if I felt like Meatball was having a good, now I did do one professional photo shoot with Meatball.
With
those
me.
Photos with Paul. Those
Worthwhile.
Photos will be released within the next few months, hopefully.
Wonderful.
Be in a calendar. Have we approved
Wonderful.
Those photos?
I will talk to you about that later. There's a few things happening there, but. There are some photos that we took with Meatball. And I did feel like he had a great time, you know, and it was a time to connect and it was a time to
have
people.
He did not have a great time.
You don't think so? We didn't.
No.
doesn't seem like Meatball really likes to move around.
And so that's
the fact
always
that you
were
took him to a different location,
that's
he
always
probably
a
wasn't
challenge.
Having a great time.
But I guess I think if my dog was going to make, or if I was going to make money for Meatball being in a commercial, and I felt like he was having an okay time and the hours were decent and nothing, you know, was going to happen to him, I think I would put him in just because it would be fun.
But it would be more equivalent of me doing a commercial.
How do you mean?
Because it's not her dog, it's her husband.
I'm okay with
I know
you
what you're saying. I guess I'm just wondering. I'm okay with you doing a commercial. I'm okay with everyone on this live stream doing a commercial.
Yeah.
I guess I'm just trying to really think through, would I be okay with Meatball making money out in the world? I wouldn't want to rely on
it. But it's also a human.
I understand. I'm just, right now, Paul, I'm just talking about Meatball.
But yeah. She's upset because he lied to her.
Okay.
Is that why she's upset?
Well,
it seems like a perfectly reasonable way for him to make money and the only way he can make money.
Agree. And she first accuses him of stealing. Remember when he
that's right, because he has cash on him and he's purchased her address.
You know, meanwhile, that talent agent, we are to assume that that talent agent gave him a wad of $100 bills in his mouth, in his collar.
Remember he says, he calls the guy and he says, the dog will be there in the morning for the shoot. Just pay the dog. Give the money to the dog.
Yes.
Can you imagine that exchange? How does the dog fill out a W-9? Like, what's going to happen?
Also, by the way, the talent agent and the director of China Dog Food Company talk to him like, oh my God, thank God you're here. Okay, great. So here's the premise of it. Like, they don't even treat him
Like a dog.
And they don't even ask, like, where's your handler, you know?
No, the one talent that he has seemingly has nothing to do with what the commercial needs to be done, which is simply, the dog can pick out dresses. That's the dog's talent. Like, it should have been, like, China Doll Outfit Company or something
that's
like that.
That's tricky, too.
So 100%. I'm just going with, yeah.
Guys, I'm just going back to my notes. I'm going back to my notes, which I have, again, barely referenced so far. Yeah. The night that they have sex for the first time, okay?
Uh-huh. Yes.
As it's fading out to their kind of sex sounds, all you hear is him saying, I'm sorry.
Yes!
I'm sorry.
Yes! Yes!
I forgot that
is
about
what,
that, Jason.
That is what I said to June. He goes, I'm sorry.
I didn't
sorry.
Hear it, but Paul heard it. That was...
I'm sorry.
Why? Is
I'm
that
sorry.
Because his dick is so
I'm
big?
Sorry.
His dog dick is so
what?
Big?
What?
It was so quiet.
I think
quiet.
It was because it was her first time.
It was like... It was
guys,
like this.
That's so... I thought it was possibly because he's a dog. His penis is huge, big, really big.
Because dogs have big penises.
I'm sorry.
I don't know. Paul.
I'm so sorry. I'm so sorry.
It was chilling. That moment was chilling.
It really was.
Because here is this, it's like a fantasy fulfilled in a way, but the movie is telling us it's not good.
It's painful.
For her. For
it's
her.
Painful
Does
for
he
her.
Have a dog dick?
That's what I said, that he's got a big old dog dong. And
wait
he's
a minute.
Saying he's
sorry
for
a dog's
it.
Dick is
dog's
smaller
dick is
than
small.
A man's.
Yeah. Yeah, so
what
you're
are you
saying,
talking
maybe
about?
Maybe because.
What's your
maybe
dog
the
deal, man?
I saw your dog, Jess. That dog is not going to...
That's
I mean,
if, not oh, a male dog,
Saint Clair
first
keeps
of
being
all.
Like, Saint Clair keeps being, he's got one of those big dog dicks. Oh, you know it. You know him. He's got one of those big old dog dicks.
Big old Saint dog
Clair,
dicks.
Dogs don't have notoriously big dicks. That's
no,
not a,
and I've only seen Meatball's dick like 3 times, and I wanted to throw up every single time.
If
it
anything,
so
it would be like
upsetting.
A, you know,
a
lipstick
tiny little,
or,
like, weird
a red
yeah.
pencil.
Lipstick
or whatever.
It is
yeah.
a red lipstick.
I hated every second.
Yeah, should
right.
I pull an image of that up
no.
on the
no,
Paul,
no.
I just wondered if maybe in translation from beast to man, his
something
dog,
got
or maybe again, like maybe we're meant to believe that he's the perfect man, and that's somebody
that
who's
you apologize.
Very,
I think more than the size of his dick, I think that what was happening is that she is a virgin. That's why she was so giggly and so kind of like.
I think you're right. Now. Yeah, yeah.
She was a virgin.
That was
so
disturbing.
It was painful. And that's right. why he was saying, I'm sorry.
I think you're right. And that makes more sense. That didn't occur to me.
Okay.
I was more like, why would this be the sex talk that they're doing? But of course, that makes entirely all the sense in the world.
Okay, I mean, it was still also very disturbing. Yikes. It was
but
like,
can I tell you why I wanted to have sex, though? I wanted Rita and the dog to have sex because I felt like Rita had this, and that was what I'm saying. This movie felt sexual.
You wanted
like,
Rita and Prince to have, wanted them to make out at one point.
I did.
Which, wait, yeah, Rita, can I ask you, how is Rita related to
family Rita's friend. The mom's
family
friend? Who
she's
runs
just like a gypsy
family friend,
when
yeah.
she runs. I thought she was like a fortune teller and she was putting spells on men to like suck them in.
Rita's one of those characters though. Huh. Like my mom had a lot of women in her life, specifically one that I remember. You know, when you're a part of a lot of different AA programs or Al-Anons or that sort of thing, you run into quite a cast of characters. And Rita to me, I saw a lot of Ritas in my childhood.
Yeah.
Rita to me was like, oh, it's one of your mom's friends who's too involved, who doesn't have a family of her own that she has any connection to at this point. Right. Like she's burned so many bridges.
Well, probably because she was a professional runner, right? And she was focused on track.
Her investment in Lisa and Lisa's love life is so bizarre.
She pays those men. She pays those men to come up and show interest in her.
Yeah.
It's like a matchmaker.
Which almost becomes like a gangbang on the dance floor. It's terrifying.
1,000%.
And it feels
it's really scary.
It feels like one of those things where Rita is trying to fulfill her own fantasy, but project
absolutely.
It onto Lisa. It's a, it's,
absolutely.
It's unasked for. Lisa is like, please stop. And Rita is like, yeah. actually more.
And but Rita is also like, don't fall in love with who you love. Fall in love with somebody that I set you up with because I know better than you. Because Rita is out to like unravel Prince. Like she is trying to uncover him as this other thing.
Well, because right. also I think Rita's really listen, Lisa's mom doesn't want Lisa to make the same mistakes she made.
Okay, well, you know? I mean,
and
that's
understandable.
All
Lisa's
that's
dad, not in the picture, not even referenced, right?
Left her
Never.
on not on the wedding day, which is what you hear about, you know, often. Left her on the day they were going to get their marriage certificate.
You know what I love?
The paperwork was going to go through.
Just, that's when he wasn't there.
That's when he bounced.
I will say one thing, too. Just going back to Lisa not being a good person. First of all, she agrees to this weird setup with Kyle where her friend's like, go and just buy dresses and go to Paris and all that sort of stuff. And then she takes the dog in multiple times in this movie. She's like, get out of here. Like, go. Like, she's just constantly
not a good
dog the dog.
Owner. I'm like, can you take this dog for a walk? Can you pet him? She seems to not want that dog. Like, that's what's so weird about the movie is that their meet cute dog Prince and Lisa is so like we don't for a second think that these two this animal and person should be together. He doesn't help her really in any way. Yeah. Like he's,
it's also not special.
Like
it's not special because he's trying to get with every girl
any
in the
witch.
Park.
Yes,
he's trying to get with every girl in the park, and he just like has enough interactions with Lisa that it ends up as her. Right.
Yes. Well, now, by the way, let's see them arguing in the park.
What's your favorite? It's chopped liver. What is wrong with you? I'm in a bad mood. Don't make it worse.
He's just sitting there.
Why are you treating me like?
And if like, I saw that woman, I would think she was on. A couple times I've been in a Target and I've seen someone who's clearly on meth. That's yeah, right. what I would think. If I saw
that
woman talking to her dog going, what's wrong with you? I'm in a bad mood. I'd be like, that woman is ODing on meth.
I'd report her.
Yeah. Yeah.
I mean,
in a toxic relationship with this dog.
100%. I think we should save a little bit of our conversation about the end couple of minutes for a few moments later. And let's go to some questions from the audience because I think
can I just mention one more thing?
Is he still here?
Okay. Very briefly. When the guy, when he's a man and he asks about the dog talent agent and Lisa kind of brushes him off, he rifles around and finds in her drawers a stack of business cards that is dozens thick. Who is giving Lisa all these business cards? Okay, then
all
he
these
finds
dudes
it.
Who want to fuck
right.
her.
Then we cut to afterwards the woman we mentioned who farts in the dress and the dog talent agent from DTA, mm-hmm. dog talent mm-hmm. agents, and yeah. he's showing her headshots of dogs for the dog food commercial, which are not headshots, they are just photos. And she describes one of the dogs as too ethnic. Why was like, what's
That's
happening?
Very upsetting.
What's happening?
Tricky. That, too
that
ethnic.
Is Tricky. That is what casting directors say about me. They don't say that about a dog.
She it's says, tricky. Oh my, oh, by the way, I just have a good slogan for DTA. You bark, we bite.
That's good, babe. That's good. But
are you trying? Wait, are you? You know, it's not a real company.
I'm just saying, if you wanted to have
that's a
good
t-shirt,
dog,
the dog talent agent, see, swag shirt.
You bark, we bite.
Yeah.
Like, it's like you want somebody to fight for you. You do your thing, we do our thing. Together, we're a dog talent agent.
Wait, can I just, okay. Can I, before we move on, there is one scene that I believe is actually the scariest of all, because it feels yes. like a scene from Handmaid's Tale, which I will never watch. When she goes, when she has the sit down with who's which mother who is a gynecologist and a nutritionist.
Oh, I have that scene.
I have no idea what you're talking
okay.
about right now.
This is Frank's mom.
Oh, all right, the gynecologist?
This is, God.
Yes.
This okay. is so oh my she's God. We gotta watch.
Here we go.
My grandson is only 10 years old.
This is terrifying.
And we're very anxious to find a stepmother for him. I've heard that you love children.
Yes, I do.
This child has been raised using the latest scientific technology in nutrition, education, and psychology.
Look how tired she is.
He has an
She's
IQ
kept up
of 170.
In a basement.
Wow, what a smart child.
Of course. And to be certain that he grows up to become president of the United States, we must ask a specific request to any prospective stepmother. She cannot have any children of her own.
No children?
Yes. Furthermore, in order for her to not become pregnant, she must agree to have her tubes tied before the marriage.
This could be like a Blumhouse horror movie.
That's what I'm saying. This movie is.
Yes.
That's like a, that is like, that could be like a, like when we did Ladybug's David Lynch. Like
yes.
this,
yes.
you could do it with this. It only kind of works with this scene because it this is, scene is so weird.
No, the whole movie, the apartment, everything. This is one step away from an edgy A24
yes.
like indie film. It's
yes.
super fucking weird and disturbing. And it's like, it truly is an unnerving film.
I have to say, I give this movie a lot of credit for the surprises.
Oh,
that was
me
a surprise.
Too.
That was a really
you.
Big surprise for me. And uh-oh. That is a crazy wick.
When a movie can give you this many surprises consistently throughout, yeah. They've done something right.
That's right.
100%.
Okay, this I just want to alert working. Everyone that I got a message on my computer asking me to disconnect from my iPhone because the battery's low.
Here we go.
Oh,
so
we
I
go.
Don't like where. So I just want to alert
go back to
everyone.
Wi-Fi. Just go back to Wi-Fi.
I still have so many notes.
I have so
I
much.
Well, here I'm just going to do this.
Some, yeah.
What's this movie's timeline? Couldn't figure it out.
Oh, that's what I said to Paul. I said, has it been? Paul said that he thought some of the main action, like the bulk of the movie, took place over like 1 week.
How about when? It's almost like a vampire story, too, because if it's a cloudy day, he can be a man, not a dog. But then his tail emerges when he's running away from Rita.
That tail was problematic.
That is a furry thing. That's what you do. You wear a tail to attract other furries. That's a subtle way of letting them know.
Peeking out of his khakis. Is that
By
true?
By the way, when that moment happens, when he first turns into a full-fledged dog at that boss's, like when she's having lunch with the boss to be a manager of another department store,
yeah.
I love that boss says, I wrote it down, I own over 5 stores. At that point, can't you say 6, 7? Like, you wouldn't just say like over 5.
So
like,
this over is five. What's weird about that scene, though, because I was obsessed with that scene and I was obsessed with his other children. Who didn't want to take over the legacy
one
of his
actor?
Like,
yeah. Right. And he's like she's like, I'm a doctor, Dad.
I want to be a medical doctor.
Yeah, a medical doctor. I was obsessed with that.
What other kind
scene.
Of doctors are there? I guess like a doctor of literature, or I mean, like, I guess. I mean, it doesn't seem like when you say a doctor, people assume like, oh, a philosophy? Like, to really lead with medical doctor.
Well, why does she throw herself into that pool in that scene? She just goes bananas and berserk and
she
tries to walk on water.
Well, she tripped. No, I think she's trying to get to him. Swim, Jess. So
I understand that, but okay. But is she trying to run
she
to
him? She forgot that she couldn't run across a pool is what the only thing. She was so shocked to see him turn into a dog. Now, listen, if you saw a grown man turn into a dog, what would you do? Like, I think I would try to make a phone call or alert someone.
I would institutionalize myself.
Yes.
I would be like, okay, we're donezo.
Which we should do after this call. The recording of this will be proof that need help.
I just realized something. I just looked at Nate Kiley's research here. Nate Kiley just revealed that the version on the DVD does have a score. The version on Amazon Prime and Tubi removes all of the music, which means they probably didn't pay for it or something.
Okay, that's
so
fine.
There is a score.
Well,
and then
this
the
makes
other
a lot of sense.
And another piece of information that Nate has just dropped on us is that the dog in the movie is often switched out for similar looking dogs. They're not the same dog. It's just kind of like dogs
that
kind of look.
It's like Mary Kate and Ashley. Right.
But at least
they
are like twins. But this is like, that would be like a, like, I think they said golden retriever. So throughout the movie, there are different dogs because there's a lot of heat waves going on during the filming of this.
Well, that's the least of our problems. I didn't notice it was a different dog.
I didn't either.
I didn't worry about why there was no filmmakers.
I would like to now retract my criticism for the lack of, for the silent, as if it was a choice to be without a score. So that's what happened. Okay. So it is. That is not the filmmaker's intention. So, okay.
Exactly.
I feel better about that.
Me too. Feel sick.
It was confounding. You know?
But now at the end, before you went back to Wi-Fi and joined us out of your hotspot world, June, we were talking about the end of the movie where the dog dies, is hit by a car, which we could see coming. I thought it was going to be a Romeo and Juliet ending. I thought they both were going to kill themselves. And then they would both miss out. But the dog died. And he came back 30 years later after she put her apartment. Yeah.
Just very briefly, when he leaves, he writes her a note. And it looks like a note written by a 5-year-old, scrawled in marker on like a big piece of construction paper. And it's like, good luck. I hope you're whatever it says.
Going back to be a dog.
He is a dog. Like, I don't even know how he knows how to write, really.
He used to be a man. He was a man in the past.
He hasn't used those skills in a while, though. But they say if you don't use certain parts of your brain,
you know what?
Things are
wow. But June, giving him such a benefit of the doubt that I am genuinely shocked by. I mean, it's not like we're talking about Kyle here.
You haven't written believe me, he is no Kyle. If you haven't written in, I don't know how old that golden retriever is, 5 years. If you
do you think that dog has been running around like that, not knowing? Because you didn't even play the magic pond. But I mean, this dog has been living his life. It didn't seem like it just happened either. It seemed like he has been
purgatory. He's been a dog for a while. You know, you don't use certain skills in life, you lose them.
Like they say, if you don't speak for a while, you lose the muscle.
It's a muscle. It's a muscle.
I mean, can I just play the opening curse? I mean, here's a moment of the opening curse because we haven't done this.
Girls, where are you? Oh, here is one. She is hot. Hey, watch me. Ugh, that's messed up. It's because I'm a dog, isn't it? Oh, look. I really am a dog.
Okay, watch this. Watch this guy check his own reflection out in the water now.
I've got to find a way to change. You laughing at me, water pond? How dare you? If you're smarter than me, then tell me how to change. See, you don't know either.
This is...
Come back.
When that happened, come back, I was like, we are in for the best movie I've ever seen. Like, he is mocking a water pond that then... literally starts talking.
Yeah. Did anyone think at a certain point in the movie that mysterious pond lady was Rita?
No.
No. But I love that.
Okay. I thought.
I also thought to myself, why don't we ever get an explanation of who the mysterious pond voice is? Like, doesn't it? It's like.
I think my mind was trying to answer that question. And so I did, you know, make that lady Rita.
I'll say this, like we're getting great questions here and I'm going to kind of bring some of these up here. People say this, you know, was Prince cursed? in this life or a past life? Was he somebody of old lineage, or was it this, something that happened to him a couple weeks ago? Because he seems to be living pretty happily as a homeless dog. And
he's called a playboy in his old life, which seemed like it was kind of like an olden days thing. But that's not, this isn't a Kate and Leopold type of scenario.
That was from MASH and Canine Prozac, which is something that they want to, the dog offers himself in the movie.
And is real. That's like a real thing. There are like antidepressants for dogs.
Absolutely.
Canine Prozac writes, was Alvin turned into a dog, or was Prince the dog given human intelligence and the ability to turn into a human?
Wait a second. Was Alvin turned into a dog? Or was Prince the dog
given human intelligence?
No. I think he says a curse was put upon him. He was too much of a playboy. A curse was put upon him that he would be a dog, which is what we call like a guy who like is gets around. He's a dog or whatever. So he's a dog in the next life until he can learn to appreciate and find women. True love. Right.
Right.
Okay. That's what I thought too. I'm just throwing it out there. We're trying to open up some questions. There's a lot of great questions here. Why is he a dick when he's in dog form and nice in human form?
Well,
now, is he lying? I mean, I think that may be a film choice. They needed more jokes in the movie.
I think it might be. I think like what we're toying with is this idea of like all men are dogs, you know? Mm-hmm. And even when you don't think they're dogs, I mean, what's her face? Paula says it early on at the park. Like they're just good for,
they're
you know,
bad for you. She having says they're fun, bad, but they're
bad
good.
For you. They're dogs.
Good for, they're good for a good time or something like that. She says, you know?
So I think that's where we're, as an audience, like we are trying to figure that out. Like, is he a dog?
It's hard to root for them because it's pretty late in the movie when she falls into the pool. He rescues her, but he does call her Pizza Face Cinder
Block. You're stuck on that. Yeah.
And that really bothered me. I was like, I don't understand how at this point he can be still being this kind of hateful.
That's my point. He's not learning at all. His dog isn't learning at all.
He's mad at her because she forced him to embarrass himself. She's like, come, it's going to be cloudy. He's like, I don't want to do this. I don't feel comfortable. And she's like, please, for me. And he's like, listen to me, honey. I know this is not going to work well. And he gave of himself.
Okay.
And then he revealed himself. He wrecked everything. He's like, you're nothing but a pizza face cinder block. Like he hated her.
No, it's that, and that's a bad relationship.
Well, by the way, why shouldn't she say that to this gentleman right here when he shows up 30 years later? That's a segue. Why did it take you so long? And then we learned that he created his own business. This
dog
man
business.
Set up his own dog training business, and he goes, which is very successful. Obviously, I'm pretty famous at that.
So like he's the same age until he magically is turned old in a moment, right?
And that's, why? Somebody why asked, does that happen? Why is he allowed to do that?
I don't know.
Yeah, because he is just a human that was born, then he got really old, and then he gets really young for the last scene.
Does he?
Well, yeah, when they kiss.
No, they're both old when they kiss.
They are both old, but then they turn young as they kiss,
do?
Like Beauty and
yes,
the Beast.
Yes, that's the whole end.
Wait, I missed that.
Wow. Okay, so they get their life back. That's weird. And yet, everyone they know is in their 80s.
All right, we're gonna bring in the dog guy in just a second. But before we bring in our dog guy, before we bring in Stephen Kramer Glickman, we are gonna see if there's a different way to look at this movie. If there perchance is a moment to reflect differently on it. It is now time for second opinions. You sent in these second opinions, and there were so many great ones. This one right here is from our friend Rob from Long Island. Rob from Long Island always has a good song. Here we go.
Love on a Leash has a magical pond, but it doesn't have any background music or sound effects. If I say that I hate it, it shouldn't come as a shock. But if you gave it 5 stars, you're a pizza-faced cinder block.
These are 5-star reviews culled from Amazon.com. And look, are there really good 5-star reviews for this movie? No, they're creative. So I'm going to read a 5-star review to get the sense of it. But I will also say there's a controversy here that the director paid people to up the rating of this movie because it is a 96 audience score on Rotten Tomatoes.
Right.
It also has. It also has a. It has like a 3 out of 8 of 5 stars on Amazon. So this is very high level. I think it's all done as a goof and a prank because a YouTuber told people to go there and do it. But I'll say Isaac K writes, absolutely insanity from the beginning to end. No music whatsoever. The whole movie is a strange, soundless void outside the voices of the actors and actresses. The editing is very bad and the story jumps around like the film is having a seizure. Scenes begin and end seemingly at random. It jumps between day and night in some places and the storyline is nonsensical to say the least. The dog is really the best character here. His inner monologue makes the movie strangely, despite claiming as a dog his name is Alvin Flang. When he becomes human, he is named Prince and his name is that the owner gave him. I really can't put this into words how insane this film is, and I guarantee you will not see the end coming at all. With this insane plot twist every 2 scenes, random dialogue, and a truly atrocious directing and editing style, this is a very highly, highly entertaining film from beginning to end. It's a great way to kill an afternoon. 5 stars. You know?
Wow.
I think that that's a, you know, a fair look. But in the third opinions, we get a little something different. Nate Kiley, always doing great research for us. Thank you, Nate. And Nate comes into the third opinions. These are people who are angry. David Kachadorian, who reviewed this in 2019, he goes, if I could give this 0 stars, I would. This is so bad. The only reason I started to watch it is because it said it at a 9.4 on IMDb, and it was highly rated on Amazon. It is obvious. The reviews above 1 star are somehow affiliated with this made on a camcorder movie. The sound is unbearable. The acting is high school production quality and several shots are reused. You can hear when there is no audio track. There is no consistency in sound recording. And that was in the first 7 minutes when I stopped watching it forever. 1 star. Good reviews are fake. Dave Karchashian.
Wow. Yeah, you really cracked the case.
And then Jackie with a Y writes, this movie makes no sense. Production is bad. Bad actors. Even the dog is a bad actor. 1 star.
Hey.
So people really took it on. But now I want to give you a couple little pieces of information. Molly continued Nate Kiley's research and found out not only that our director is an octogenarian, but she appeared in the Joy Luck Club as an actress, Auntie Number One. But there's a true love story here. A love story that we may have not have seen coming is that Jana Camp now goes by Jana Kamo because she married Anise Kamo, the actor who played Prince, the human version of the dog.
I was going to say they had real chemistry.
Wow.
Yes, they did.
They did.
They did. Sexual chemistry.
They did.
Yes.
And
they
that is what
did.
Challenged
they
us about okay. whether or not we wanted to fuck dogs because they
you
looked
know what?
Like they were really getting into it.
You can always tell when actors are kind of into it. And I was
yes,
like, oh, these
can.
Two are into
I
it.
I love this for them.
Yeah. Into
I love
it.
Wow. I good wow. for them.
God bless.
God bless.
Now some words from Stephen Kramer Glickman. Stephen Kramer Glickman is an actor. You might have heard him in Storks. He has also been a Nickelodeon show that was incredibly popular. I'll tell you the name of that in just 1 second. But he volunteered to tell us the questions that he gets asked most about this film. So here he is. Oh.
Hey, what's up? It's me, Stephen Kramer Glickman from, you know, Big Time Rush and Storks. And of course, who could forget, Love on a Leash, one of the worst movies ever made. And I am very lucky to have been a part of it. Number one, why was the lead actress covered in fake pimples? Well, it was because, as the director said to me, people... who don't have sex end up with pimples on their face.
Wow.
Also, because she was so interested in having sex, and that's all she could think about, that's why everything in her home is green.
Oh.
So there you go. There,
isn't that Envy?
A very weird one. Also, that actress, her and the actor who plays the human version of the dog, they did get married. And they do have kids or a kid and are still together to this day. And they will not speak about the movie.
Oh,
because I kind of like sneak attacked and like found a way of reaching out to her and asking her if I could interview about something else. And then when I got her on the phone, I was like, by the way, I'm the voice of the dog. Question number two is, how did I get the voice of the dog? A comedian named Ari Shaffir came to me. I was the doorman at the Comedy Store. He was like, hey, he didn't want to do the job, so he offered it to me. Very kind of him. And then the director, when she showed up, she was like, I cannot pay you, but I can give you this bag of wontons and two cantaloupe. That's 100% true. I ate all of it. I never was given any money for it. IMDb listed me as a cast member. I fought very, very hard to have my name taken off the IMDb for that film. And I was successful for years and years and years and years. But it's on there now. It is on there now.
Oh, no.
Also, here's a fun thing. The movie was financed by a church. And the director got the money from the church in China by telling them that the movie was about Jesus, which it is not.
Whoa!
And when the head of the church came to America to watch the movie and see it, he was so horrified by what he saw that he said that the movie will never get released, and it almost never did get released. But it did finally, in another very strange turn of events. So, yeah, there you go. There's some weird info on a movie that will not die.
Wow. That was the
Holy
best.
Moly.
I'm so glad we saved it for last. Stephen Kramer Glickman.
So like informative.
I said, so great. And he just did that today. Just minutes before the show started, he sent that in. So we
God
so thank him.
God
thank him for that.
You,
I feel less crazy now.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah.
And I want to let people know you can follow him on TikTok. He has an album on TikTok. He's got a podcast. You can follow him at Stephen Glickman on Twitter. But what a nice guy to let us know everything. Being paid in wontons and cantaloupe. He seems like he's got a great energy about him to talk about it. And I will say this. Wow. The movie came out in 2011. The tagline was, love at first bark. Would you recommend this movie? Jason, June, Jessica, what do you think?
Yes. I would recommend this above all, almost anything else.
Yes.
Wow. I agree, Jason. I'm like, there is so much. Again, I don't even know if we talked about it. Like, there's so much there.
But and here's here's my note. For my recommendation comes with an asterisk. Give yourself enough time afterwards to process how upset you're going to be.
Yes. Jessica, would you say you don't recommend people seeing it?
Of course not. I care about the people in my life, and I would never inflict this kind of harm on them.
Jessica, thank you for being here.
Very briefly, before we wrap, I'm just going to say, everybody, please watch Paper Girls. Please watch Paper Girls
on Amazon Prime. It's great. The book is amazing. It's a great faithful adaptation of it. It's great.
Read the comics. Brian K. Vaughan, Cliff Chang. Watch the show. The young female actors are absolutely incredible. The show is fantastic.
I'm going to plug that Quentin Tarantino is on Unspooled. So check that out. If you have not listened to Unspooled, it has a little less yelling than this episode.
And Tarantino's on it?
We talk about Richard Lester's Three and Four Musketeers and Five Musketeers and Another Musketeers. Five movies we all watched. It was pretty great. Thank you, Molly. Thank you, Cody. Thank you, Devin. Thank you, Avril Halley. Thank you, Nate Kiley. Thank you, Zach McAleese. Thank you, July Diaz and Kyle Waldron. Without all these people, the show would not work. Without Spectrum, we wouldn't be able to do a show. Thank you, everybody, for buying a ticket, telling your friends about the show. It really helps. And I hope you can see us on the road this week as we start our tour. Check out Jason's Bed Bugs from a Distance.